You are now listening to the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 72nd episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Be sure to give me a follow on Twitter. My account is at ItalianoCalcio. Check the link in my Twitter bio for all the links that you need to support and listen to my podcast. So we will start off the 72nd episode of the podcast with the only place to start, the conclusion to the Serie A season. Always, you know, mixed feelings when a season comes to an end, right? All the excitement and joy, especially this season with the Scudetto race coming to the end, the relegation battle, so much to play for, Europa League spots. But it's also obviously sad because, you know, we're going to go a couple months, got to go through this summer without any Calcio. We normally would have the World Cup this summer, but obviously FIFA decided to put that in the winter. That's something I don't care to delve into, but whatever the case may be. But congratulations to Milan. They emerge victorious and are the Scudetto winners. I said it on Twitter. Preseason, I picked them to finish fifth. I know they finished top four last season. Just because I picked them to finish fifth preseason did not mean I necessarily expected them to take a step back from last season. In the standings, yes, I expected them to finish a little lower than they did. But that doesn't mean I thought that they would necessarily regress. That's just more a credit to some of the other top teams in Serie A. I had Inter winning the Scudetto. I can't recall if I had Napoli or Juve second, but those were second and third, Napoli, Juve, or Juve, Napoli, whichever order, I can't recall. And I did expect Atalanta to finish fourth, some position that they've been finishing in the top four for the past couple seasons now. But that did not go as I expected. And again, give all the credit in the world to Milan. They were a hell of a team this season, more than worthy of winning the Scudetto. They had a battle, you know, all season. Napoli spent a good chunk of the season in first place. Inter spent a good chunk of the season in first place. Obviously, Milan has spent a good chunk of the season in first place. And in the end, it was them who emerged victorious. There's so many MVPs you could point to for the Rossoneri. I mean, all the accolades on social media you see all the time. And guys like Tomori defensively stepping up this season, Mike Maignan filling the shoes of Donnarumma. That was certainly going to be a big question mark. You know, how will he replace Donnarumma? But Mike Maignan has done a great job. The development and emergence of Rafael Leao, he ended up being the Serie A MVP this season and more than worthy of that. It was clear that Rafael Leao had some talent and the potential was there, but how many athletes do we see, whether it's, you know, in the world of Calcio or any sport, you know, players with potential not always necessarily reaching that potential? And he really started to show some improvement last season, but this season he elevated his game to another level and certainly solidified himself among one of the best talents, you know, young talents in the world of football, and certainly, you know, sky's the limit for how good he could be. He had an outstanding season for Milan, kind of anchoring their attack and being kind of a consistent guy, given you know, the in and outs of Zlatan, Olivia Giroud, and whatnot. So give Rafael Leao a lot of credit. Sandro Tonali is another player who took a massive step forward this season for the Rossoneri. And you know, you could look at a lot of reasons for why Milan are the Scudetto winners. For me, I think it's the emergence of Rafael Leao. It's the emergence and development and growth of Sandro Tonali. And it's Mike Maignan's ability to step in and really play flawless in goalie for Milan and really replacing Donnarumma. There was a lot of concern, you know, coming into the season, like I said, with that. And we know Maignan had a great season last year with Lille in Ligue 1. I think they conceded the fewest goals, not just in Ligue 1, but I think in all the top five European leagues. I could be mistaken. Last season when Lille won Ligue 1 and, you know, shocked everybody. I know everyone always assumes PSG is going to win, and rightfully so. But Lille had a great job. Maignan did a great job with Lille last year and stepped in. New league, new team, new atmosphere, new environment. But, you know, same Maignan as we saw last season. So credit to him. So those are the three big reasons, I think, why Milan were victorious and win the Scudetto. I was a little disappointed with how Sassuolo played in that game. It was almost like the Sassuolo we saw against Napoli a few weeks back that lost 6-1. Really uninspired Sassuolo side. I know they had nothing to play for, but you wanted to see perhaps a better game from them or better effort. Certainly, if you were an Inter fan, you definitely wanted that because Inter, you know, they did what they had to do. They beat Sampdoria 3-0. But I'm not surprised Milan beat Sassuolo. You fully would expect them to. That was their chance. All they needed was a draw. But You know, they knew if they took care of business, it didn't matter what Inter did in their game. But even though I would have expected Milan to win this game, even against a better and a more inspired Sassuolo side, but you just would have liked to have seen it from a neutral standpoint, a more competitive game to kind of add a little bit of intrigue to that Scudetto battle. I mean, there was plenty of intrigue, again, coming down to the final round. You can't ask for much more. But perhaps, like I said, just a little bit better effort for Sassuolo. But all the credit in the world to Milan. Stefano Pioli has done an outstanding job with this team. Give the ownership group, give the management. Paolo Maldini, obviously a club legend on the field for so many years for the Rossoneri. He kind of is one of those links that represents the last golden era, if you will, at Milan, where they were, you know, winning the Scudetto, winning the Champions League and dominating Europe and dominating the world of football, and where they were kind of the home for many of the big-name players and big stars in the game. And now he's kind of getting it done in the front office, if you will, and winning trophies. So good for him. You know, happy to see Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He's played for numerous clubs. He's kind of been a mercenary across the world of football. But Milan seems to be one of the clubs that perhaps sits in his heart the most. And you know, he was very excited and happy to help bring the Scudetto home for the Rossoneri and fans. Even though he didn't play a huge role on the field this season, injuries kind of derailed his season, and he's obviously getting up there in age and is certainly not the same top-class player that we have grown to see Zlatan become over his career. But, you know, his leadership, what he brings off the field, in that locker room, even on the sidelines during games, you know, the camera constantly pans to him on the sideline, on the bench, and the passion and the leadership he brings. So whether he's on the field or not, he certainly is, you know, one of the heart and souls of this team as well. So it was nice to see Zlatan get another Scudetto under his belt and on his resume. But yeah, it was an exciting season. Again, it's always exciting when the Scudetto race comes to the end. And again, credit to Milan. Inter had a hell of a season. Nothing to be ashamed of. They obviously won the Italian Super Cup. They won Coppa Italia, so they got some trophies. They didn't get the big one they would have wanted to get, obviously, but Inter had a tremendous season. You know, there was a lot of question marks coming into the season for them. Antonio Conte departed. They sold Romelu Lukaku, lost a few other players, but Simone Inzaghi did a flawless job replacing Antonio Conte. Lautaro Martinez absolutely stepped up this season for Inter. There were some question marks, you know, surrounding his future. Is he really that special of a player? How would he perform without Lukaku next to him in attack? And he answered every question. He clearly has proven that he is someone that Inter could build this attack around, and that he is very much the present and the future at Inter. You know, Dzeko didn't exactly come in and have the season that I'm sure Inter fans would have been hoping for. He did score some goals, some big goals for the club, but he really fell off down the stretch for Inter. But it didn't matter. That's not the reason why Inter lost to Scudetto, because again, Lautaro Martinez stepped up big time. We'll see. You know, I've talked about on the podcast last episode, you know, the constant rumors linking Dybala to Inter. Is that going to be Lautaro's new partner in attack? We'll see what happens. Obviously, there's the strong links to Roma, but Inter had a hell of a season. Napoli finished third. There's a lot of talk. There's been a lot of talk, right? Especially when, you know, Napoli had that little bit of a crisis where they conceded the late goal to Roma. They absolutely collapsed against Empoli and let Empoli win. And those two games, you could point to those two games, at least from a point standpoint, why they were not in the Scudetto race till the end. But there's been a lot of people talking about Spalletti. Should he even be brought back as Napoli's coach? And I just absolutely laugh when I see those comments. Luciano Spalletti did a hell of a job with Napoli this season, getting them back into Champions League qualification for the first time in a few years. That's where Napoli want to be. That's like, that is essentially De Laurentiis and Napoli's minimum goal each season. You should be qualifying top four. That's the expectation in that city at this point with the club they have, the talent they have, and everything. Of course, they want to win a Scudetto. That's obviously the goal, but coming into this season, the goal was finished top four. It was not to win the Scudetto. The Scudetto became a dream and a realistic dream, and it was a little disappointing to see how Napoli did falter in those few rounds that ended up costing them a legitimate shot at perhaps battling with Milan and Inter into this final round. And it would have been really cool and exciting to see a three-horse Scudetto race come down to the end. But Napoli did an outstanding job this season. Luciano Spalletti was amazing. Victor Osimhen, we really saw him take another step in growth in his game, and you know, from a Serie A standpoint, I certainly hope that Victor Osimhen stays and the club does not end up selling him. I do think he will stay. That's my gut feeling. We'll see what happens. Obviously, there's going to be so many rumors now the next couple months over the summer, and it's part of the game. I know there's some fans that hate hearing about the rumors. There's some fans that seem to love the transfer rumors more than the actual game, and that's what they care about more than their actual team and what their team does on the field, which I don't fully understand. I love, obviously, a combination of both. I love the on-field games and the competition and the trophies and the competitiveness in the standings, but obviously I do enjoy some rumors and transfer rumors, and there's going to be a lot of, you know, BS ones out there and whatnot, but Osimhen's name will certainly be floating around in the transfer rumors this summer, unless someone comes out and perhaps makes a definitive statement one way or the other saying anything regarding his future. So we'll see about that. Juventus did not have the season that they were hoping for when they brought back Max Allegri, and obviously they went out and signed Vlahovic in January, the big splash there. They took a step back this season. They did not win any trophies. They had a point regression in terms of their points at the end of the season compared to last year under Andrea Pirlo. And a lot of people thought last season, was bad under Pirlo. And at least Pirlo did win a trophy. Pirlo did finish higher in the points. Standing-wise, it's all came out in the wash. Top four finish, regardless. So Juve did get into the Champions League. I mean, could you imagine Juve having the season that they had and somehow miss out on the Champions League? That would have just been really a catastrophic failure and disappointment. At least they did finish top four for their sake and the club's sake and whatnot. But Juve, disappointing season. There's a lot of question marks, you know, surrounding this team. I'll talk about Juve a little bit later on in this episode, but they were a disappointment. Roma, Lazio, they get the Europa League spots. They certainly, Lazio, look, between Lazio, Roma, Fiorentina, and Atalanta, the four teams that were battling for the Europa League spots and the Conference League spot, they all had their ups and downs this season. They all had some nice little runs where they looked like a team that, you know, perhaps should have been challenging for the top four. And then they also had some runs where it looked like they did not even deserve to qualify for Europe. So in the end, Lazio and Roma, I do think, were the two best out of those four teams. But Fiorentina had an outstanding improvement this season under Vincenzo Italiano. If you think about past few seasons, Fiorentina were, you know, dancing closer to that relegation zone, and with a few rounds left, they were in danger of being relegated. So major growth from La Viola under Vincenzo Italiano, especially when they sold Vlahovic back in January. So they had a nice season. Jose Mourinho's first season at Roma, as I said, got into the Europa League. They're in the Conference League final, which is later this week. And let's see if they could bring that trophy home, which will certainly be an excitement for Roma fans, winning a trophy after a long drought that they've been on. So we'll see there. I thought, again, Maurizio Sarri, mission accomplished, got them into Europe. Obviously, they would have loved to have gotten in the Champions League, but I don't think many people were really expecting Lazio to finish top four. It certainly could have been possible. They only did finish 6 points behind Juve, but I don't know how many people were really picking Lazio top four, but they did get fifth place in the Europa League. It is a solid season under Maurizio Sarri, his first year there. They did a good job. Ciro Immobile, top goal scorer in Serie A for the fourth time in his career. That's all he does, is just score goals for Lazio. Milinkovic-Savic had a very nice season as well. We'll see if he gets sold. Again, talking about the transfer rumors. Atalanta, you could probably look at them as one of the bigger disappointments this season, a team that had finished in the top four. I think, what was it, 3 seasons in a row they qualify for the Champions League, as I said at the beginning. I picked them to finish fourth place. I thought they would edge out Milan in the top four. And again, I was totally wrong, with Milan ended up winning the Scudetto. But I know Atalanta dealt with a lot of injuries. Duvan Zapata missed a lot of time. There were some other key players that were out with injuries. But it was certainly a disappointing season for Atalanta. They did sell some players, but that's something they've done all the past couple seasons. They've always been proven that they could, you know, sell their players and they're immune to it, that they'll still replace them with someone, you know, just as good for a cheaper price and not miss a beat. And you know, they had way too many ups and downs. They did not win enough games at home. I forget what the total was, how many home wins they had, but it was their lowest by far over the past few seasons. So, you know, a lot of people talking about, is this the end of the cycle for Gasperini there? You know, a team that finished top four, like I said, I think 3 seasons in a row, now to totally miss out on any European qualification. How's that going to affect them financially? Is it going to force them to sell some of their key players? We'll have to see about that. But again, my gut feeling is I don't think it's the end of Gasperini at Atalanta. It would only be the end if he chooses to leave. I don't think the club would move on from him. I think it would be silly to move on from him just from one, you know, step back season, one bad season. I know it's a big fall from finishing top four to miss all of European qualification altogether. You know, you don't want to make excuses, but as I said, there were definitely a few excuses that are legitimate excuses, including losing Duvan Zapata for a good chunk of the season. So we'll see what happens with Atalanta this summer. And then the relegation battle, that came down to the end. We already knew Venezia and Genoa were heading down, and then it was between Salernitana and Cagliari. And Salernitana got their heads beat in by Udinese, who proved to have a good season. They were one of the better surprises this season. And you knew it was going to be a tough game for Salernitana to play against Udinese. And it proved to be that. Udinese absolutely controlled that game. But all you needed was Venezia to at least draw with Cagliari. Just couldn't let Cagliari win. And Salernitana would have been okay with losing. And that's what happened in the end. And as I kind of touched upon at the beginning, with Sassuolo really not putting up a big effort against Milan, you got to give all the credit in the world to what Venezia did. Again, a side already relegated, knowing they were heading down to Serie B. They were playing their final game in Serie A. It was also in Venice, so it was their final game in front of the home fans this season, and in Serie A for potentially, who knows. Of course, Venezia could come back up in one season, but my guess is that it will take them a little bit of time to get back up to Serie A, because Serie B has a lot of really good teams heading into next season. There's a lot of good teams currently competing in Serie B that are going to be staying there. Cagliari and Genoa, even though they got relegated, they are good teams, especially when you consider, you know, competing in the second tier of Italy. So they'll be fine, Cagliari and Genoa next season. So it's going to be a tough Serie B season next season. So Venezia could be down there for a while. But back to my initial point, all the credit in the world to what Venezia did. Cagliari, knowing that they needed a win, knowing that, you know, they were getting their updates on the sideline. They knew Udinese was killing Salernitana, and all they had to do was find that one goal. And, you know, maybe Cagliari were pressing too much. They certainly created chances. Gio Pedro created a few chances, but they just could not find the back of the net. And you got to give credit to Venezia. Again, they played a tough game. They did not just, you know, roll over, lay down, and give Cagliari the easy win. They fought hard-spirited win, a spirited game, and definitely earned that draw, Venezia did. And I'm sure Salernitana fans and those players will be forever grateful to that Venezia side for helping them out and keeping them up in Serie A. I think betting-wise, I want to say Salernitana were the betting favorites to be relegated this season. And it was looking like a great bet for most of the season. But then something clicked in April. Davide Nicola did an outstanding job. He is one of the salvation specialists in the world of Calcio. He's done this before with several small teams. He did it with Crotone a few years back. So this is kind of what he does. And it was a slim chance. It was very unlikely. But again, something flipped in in April. Certainly the team made a few signings in January, bringing in Simone Verdi, bringing in Ederson, brought in a few players that really did help contribute. So I guess you could look that it started back then with some of those key moves that Walter Sabatini made. But something really clicked in April where the team just went on a nice run and really racked up the points and went from the bottom of the table to finishing in 17th place, only with 31 points, but 1 point more than Cagliari. So they stay up. And those Salernitana fans are so passionate, and they love their team through thick and thin, the good or the bad. They were with them all season, even when they were in the bottom, the basement of the Serie A standings, and now they kind of get to reap those benefits of always standing by their team. And those players definitely felt that support. You would hear in interviews the Salernitana players saying, you know, the supporters, the fans were always with us through, again, like I said, through thick and thin. They never got too low on this team. They never killed the team when they were going through that rough patch for the majority of the season. And again, it all paid off. And happy for those Salernitana fans. So they'll be staying up in Serie A, and certainly next season, you know, you would expect them to be in a similar situation where they're definitely fighting off relegation late in the season. But hey, anything's possible, as Salernitana have proved this season. All right, now on to buy it or sell it to cover some of the storylines and rumors that have been dominating the Italian media and the world of football. Number one, buy it or sell it. Bringing back Paul Pogba is a good move for Juventus. I will definitely buy this one. Before I even talk about the signing of Pogba, let's talk about the amazing, you know, transfer triangle, if you will, between Pogba, Juventus, and Manchester United. We all know back in 2012, Juventus signed Pogba on a free transfer from Manchester United. Getting a supreme talent like that on a free transfer is obviously an amazing, you know, piece of business for Juve. Then in 2016, the summer of 2016, Juventus sold Pogba back to Manchester United for 105 million euro. So United let Pogba walk out the door 4 years earlier for free, now had to pay 105 million euro to Juventus to get him back. And then now this season, this summer, assuming everything, all the rumors are true and it's coming from many reliable sources and it becomes official, Juventus are about to sign Pogba once again from Manchester United on a free transfer. So just unbelievable, unbelievable what, you know, Juventus have been able to do with Pogba and how they've kind of, you know, toyed with Manchester United, if you will. I'm sure there's got to be some little bit of resentment and hatred towards the Juventus fans if you're a Manchester United fan for what they've been able to do with Pogba. It truly is an amazing story, signing, you know, one of the best midfield talents in the world for free twice from the same club and also making that same club pay 105 million euro in between. But back to the main point, I do see the signing of Pogba as a good move for Juve. In my opinion, you know, their midfield really has been perhaps the weakest aspect the past two seasons, and why they haven't been as competitive and why they haven't been able to really challenge for the Scudetto. I think there's a lot of question marks and a lot of issues with Juve. It goes well beyond just their midfield. But for me, if I had to pinpoint one really glaring area of weakness, I do think it is that midfield. You know, they've spent some money in that department. They've certainly made some signings to try to bolster the midfield over the past few mercatos. You know, you think about them bringing in Locatelli this summer. They've signed Weston McKennie recently, Aaron Ramsey, Artur, and a few other players. But they haven't quite been able to nail down that midfield. And I do think bringing in Pogba will provide some stability to that position. Someone who can link up play for Juventus with those attackers and obviously provide a little spark offensively himself at times. Allegri knows Pogba. Assuming Allegri is back. Allegri knows Pogba well. Pogba knows Allegri well. There's a lot of respect and admiration between those two, so I think that also helps, and I do think that was a contributing factor, part of the contributing factors as to why Pogba is choosing to come back to Juve, because of that respect and relationship with Max Allegri. So I like this move a lot for Juve, and obviously when you couple in the fact that it is on a free transfer, once again, how could you not absolutely love this move? It's also worth noting that Juventus are expected to sign Angel Di Maria as well, the veteran Argentine winger on a free transfer from PSG. He's a good veteran talent. I do think he could provide a spark for Juve's offense. I know that this link to Juve, a lot of people have mixed feelings about it, think he's too old, he's washed up, it's not worth it. You know, it's been reported that he's going to get about 7.5 million euro per season, perhaps for two years. It is a lot of money, but look, if Juve are willing to pay it, if it's not going to really cripple them in terms of, you know, being able to sign some other players, because it is a free transfer, but from a salary standpoint, I don't see it as a bad move. I know it's not necessarily an equal comparison, but, you know, think back a few years ago when Roma signed Pedro. He did provide a spark to them offensively at times, and he's done the same thing this past season since joining Lazio. And I think Di Maria could kind of be that same type of player where, despite his older age, not too old, but older age, and people thinking maybe he's at the tail end of his career, we've seen so many times that players in that mid, you know, 30-year-old range like Di Maria is, sometimes a new challenge, a new place where he kind of gets a little bit more playing time, perhaps. Not that he didn't get playing time at PSG, but again, he was behind guys like Messi, Neymar, and Mbappe in attack. So, you know, Di Maria was certainly down on the list in terms of, you know, offensive options for PSG. So I do think perhaps a change of scenery, a new league, a new challenge could provide a spark to Di Maria, and he could help out. So, you know, between Pogba and Di Maria on free transfers, I think it's a good start to the mercato for Juventus, assuming both of those do eventually become official. Number two, buy or sell it, Domenico Berardi would be a bad signing for Napoli. I will sell this one. I think Domenico Berardi would be a great signing for Napoli. And I've been saying it for a while now. I'm a big Berardi fan, and I feel he is more than ready to take in, not just that he's ready, I think he also needs to take that leap and join a bigger club. He's an outstanding talent. He scores goals. He sets up his teammates well. He's an unselfish player. He put up a double-double this season, you know, double figures in goals, double figures in assists. Not many people in Europe are able to do that, and he's done that. It's been now three strong seasons in a row. I know early on in his career there were some inconsistencies where some seasons he really didn't put up the numbers that people expected him to, and he wasn't living up to the expectations, and injuries also were a contributing factor to that. But now it's three really good seasons in a row for him with Sassuolo. And I do think, as I said, he's definitely ready and needing to make that jump. We know Napoli could lose a few offensive players this season. Already we know Insigne is definitely leaving. Matteo Politano could be leaving. The club could choose to sell Chucky Lozano. There's some mixed reports whether he wants to leave as well. I kind of touched upon it a little earlier. We know Osimhen's name is going to be floated out there a lot this summer. I do think he will stay, but regardless, Napoli are going to probably need to add some offensive weapons, going to need to add a winger or potentially two, and I think Domenico Berardi would be a great option for the club. Obviously, he has a lot of experience in Serie A. He's proven he could get it done in Serie A. Again, he's put up a double-double this season. He does have some history playing in European competitions. If you recall, Sassuolo did qualify for the Europa League going back a few years, and obviously with Napoli competing in the Champions League. So he has a little bit of experience, you know, with juggling Serie A and a European commitment midweek. So I just think, you know, when you consider the production Berardi has been able to produce, and I don't expect his price tag to be super crazy. For whatever reason, his price tag is not outrageous, or Sassuolo not asking for a crazy amount of money. And it's not like he's obviously too old, but he, you know, he's currently 27. I think he'll be 28 by the time the next season starts, but he's still relatively young enough, you know, for a Napoli team that's looking to compete, right? Napoli, you're going to want to compete in the Champions League. They're going to want to make that next step in, you know, next season, perhaps challenge for the Scudetto. He's at a young enough age, but with experience, with his age, that I think he would be a very good signing for Napoli. It's been a rumor that's been floated out there, and it's one of those rumors that the first second I read it, it wasn't one that I kind of like squinted at and thought like, eh, I don't know how I feel about that. This was one of those that the second I read that rumor, and that's all it may be is rumor, who knows. But the second I read it, it was just one of those moves that I said, this would be an amazing signing. I think for Berardi, it'd be a great jump for him. Napoli would be a good landing spot for him. And also for Napoli, he'd be a great option to bring in to help bolster their attack. And as I said, they're expecting to lose a few guys in attack. So Berardi would be a great option if they're able to actually make a deal with Sassuolo. So that will do it for the 72nd episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That'd be greatly appreciated to help us grow. Feel free to spread the word of the Calcio Corner to any friends or family members that you think would enjoy a Calcio-centric podcast. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.